Over $113 billion tax dollars given to Ukraine. By Antonius J. Patrick. A Special Inspector General's report on Operation Atlantic Resolve, the U.S. government's support of Ukraine, released at the end of 2023, has provided the financial outlays and humanitarian costs of the war so far. To say the least, they have been massive. As the U.S. has rebuffed all negotiations for a peaceful resolution and while Congress is mulling over another aid package of some $60 billion, there appears to be no end in sight to the conflict. The report admits, as do most knowledgeable analysts, that without U.S. and Western aid, Ukraine would collapse, ending the war almost immediately. To prevail on the battlefield, Ukraine will need continued military and security assistance, according to State Department. An understatement, indeed. Between February 2022 and December 2023, Congress appropriated approximately $113.4 billion to the Ukraine, divided into the following categories: $46 billion for economic and humanitarian aid, $45.2 billion for military aid, $15.2 billion for the U.S. military, $4.7 billion for aid to allies for weapons, and $2 billion for miscellaneous U.S. Defense Department expenses. This obscene amount of spending is going to have to be maintained to keep the current status quo on the battlefield and to prevent a collapse of the Ukrainian economy. Yet, the maniacal Biden administration refuses to engage in any meaningful peace talks, willfully oblivious to the waste of U.S. taxpayer dollars, the incredible loss of life, and the massive destruction of property taking place in its support of an unwinnable war. More important than the staggering monetary outlays, without any apparent end in sight, has been the death and suffering taking place. Using U.S. officials' comments to the press and a December 2023 declassified intelligence report, the Special Inspector General asserts that 315,000 Russians have been killed or wounded, while some 70,000 Ukrainians have been killed and 100,000 to 120,000 more wounded. The latter figures have been disputed by more objective observers who place Ukrainian losses significantly higher. The State Department has estimated that nearly 3.7 million Ukrainians have been internally displaced, with some 6.3 million more classified as refugees. The report paints a grim picture of battlefield conditions. Despite the Ukrainian Armed Forces, UAF, being tested over the 2 years of fighting, the front line of the war has not moved significantly since the gains made in the fall of the 2022 Ukrainian counteroffensive. Russian forces continue to occupy most of Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, Kherson, and Crimea oblasts, the report notes. In terms of firepower, the UAF is launching about 6,000 rounds of artillery per day, with the Zelensky regime seeking to increase the figure to 10,000 per day through international contributions. This pales in comparison to the 60,000 artillery rounds that the Russians fire per day. The report does not mention the critical kill ratio of the two forces. While officials publicly contend there is parity between the two sides, leaked documents place the ratio of soldiers killed between 7 to 1 or even as high as 10 to 1 Ukrainian versus Russian losses. The Special Inspector General is critical of the Russian command structure, citing its poor situational awareness, rigid command and control stovepipes, poor information sharing, and a toxic leadership culture. These failings, the report continues, have reduced maneuverability and the effectiveness of long-range strikes, and they have weakened overall Russian military battlefield capability. While the failings are no doubt exaggerated, the shortcomings of the Russian military may stem from Russian President Vladimir Putin's deliberate and methodical policy toward Ukraine. It has, so far, never been Putin's aim to conquer Ukraine, which he could have easily done. Fearing blowback from a full-scale military assault with the possibility of triggering a nuclear war with the West, and that a defeated Ukraine would require occupation of a hostile people for decades, the Russian president has moved cautiously to secure his limited objectives. This, no doubt, has caused friction among the Russian war hawks who want to punish Ukraine and bring a conclusion to hostilities, fearing a stalemate will affect the morale of the military. Anti-war commentators have rightly pointed out the injustice of the conflict and that had it not been for U.S. intervention from the beginning, with the orchestrated coup in 2014 replacing Viktor Yanukovych with a pro-Western regime in Kyiv, there would likely be peace in the region. They have also shown the benefactors of the war, including the military-industrial complex and warmongering politicians such as Senator Lindsey Graham and the rest of the usual suspects. What the war's opponents have missed is that the fighting has tragically involved two predominantly white nations slaughtering each other. This is all taking place as white birth rates are in decline precipitously the world over. This is not surprising since most of the anti-war commentators are from a libertarian bent who are rather touchy when it comes to race. It is also why they avoid speaking about the forces that have pitted Ukraine and Russia against each other. This has been a favorite tactic of the clique that has been in charge of U.S. foreign policy, as Blinken, Nuland, and now Zelensky are playing their roles to a T. Antonius J. Patrick is the pen name of a scholar living in the Washington, D.C. area. Patrick has written many articles over the years for the Barnes Review History magazine. Call 1-877-773-9077 toll-free for a free sample issue.